This episode of the IT News Podcast is brought to you by Slack, the AI-powered platform for work that brings together your conversations, apps, and customers in the one place. To hear how Slack's platform with artificial intelligence transforms safety at a construction company, stick around to the end of this episode.
Hello and welcome to the IT News Podcast. Our guest is the Executive Director of Strategy, Transformation and Major Capital for Gold Coast Health, Sandeep Kumar. Gold Coast Health has been digitally transforming since 2014, but has evolved in recent years to take a more platform-based approach. Importantly, it also sees itself as a microcosm of the challenges faced by the broader health sector. That lens has seen it take a keen interest in packaging up some of the digitised workflows it has created for broader use, both in Queensland and beyond the border.
Maybe just to start with, it'd be useful to understand a little bit more about the transformation effort at Gold Coast Hospital and Health Service. And I don't know how you want to frame it, but it'd be useful just to maybe understand when it kicked off and what some of the overarching goals are for the program of work.
Gold Coast Health is one of Australia's largest public hospital providers, and we are an exemplar of what the overarching health system is facing. Our digital transformation agenda has been active for a number of years and across a number of CIOs, stemming all the way back to 2014 when we launched our first medical record, to the work that we've done in 2019 prior to my time to launch an integrated electronic medical record, to all the work that we've done in 2019 as well to launch the management information system that's now scaled across the system. Our digital transformation agenda has really accelerated, in my opinion, in the last 2 years, where we've been able to leverage some of the foundational investments that were made in years prior to really start an accelerated value release agenda. And that's what we're up to right now, is a conversation about really accelerating the use of technology and how value can be created and both realized across our hospital and health service.
So you mentioned there that you see the organization as an exemplar, I think was the word you used, around the broader challenges within the sector. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that and just discuss the way that the organization is an exemplar of those challenges that the health sector is facing?
Excellent. So let me start with the problem. So I think the health system is undergoing a polycrisis. What I mean by that is simultaneous occurrence of several significant events happening at once. Many people would know that in health systems, we have a global workforce challenge that we're faced with right now. We're expecting quite a substantial amount of clinical workforce shortages in the next 7 years. We're experiencing that today. We're seeing consistent global health emergencies, pandemic outbreaks, supply chain shortages, climate change. Many people wouldn't know that we work in an asynchronous cost and funding environment. So we're usually funded in a world which is 2 years prior to the cost that we're incurring today in the Australian public health system. So in simple terms, 2 years ago, we were all borrowing at 2% and our mortgages, and now we're incurring interest rates at 6%. Same implication in health systems. We're incurring costs in an environment where people can borrow at 6%, but we're only getting funded in an environment which we could borrow at 2%. So there's a whole challenge there that we're faced with, seeing health inequality, a completely rapidly changing consumer landscape where people expect synchronous service experiences like they do in the banking sector, like they do to watch Netflix at home. They experience the same and want the same expectations of the public health system. When they want a service, they need it now. You're seeing increased rates of hospitalization, global delays in access to care. I guess the point I'm making here is that the system's undergoing a polycrisis and all these events are happening at the same time. And now, if you think about Gold Coast Health, we are no different. We are experiencing the same problems that the rest of the system are facing. We need 4,000 staff to fill our new facilities in the next 5 years. We're facing a housing crisis in our region. We've got opportunities to improve the first 2,000 days in the health system. We've got a complete rise in the rate of utilization per capita of public health systems compared to private. We've got funding and demand imbalances. So again, we're a synopsis, a microcosm of a global challenge. And what we do know is that with exponential challenges, we need an exponential response. And let me just clarify that in simple language. The systems facing exponential challenges are compounding and they're happening at the same time. And what we've done in public systems, and particularly in healthcare previously, is we've responded to those challenges in incremental ways. So, for example, there might be a medical workforce shortage. So what we've done is we've substituted what a doctor can do with what a trained allied health professional with extended scope of practice could do. And that's the way that we've responded in the last 10 years in health system transformation to get to this point. But we do know going forward is that with exponential challenges, we can't have incrementalism as a response. And the biggest way that we can respond as a health system is to take advantage of technology advancements and really drive new ways of working to respond to the scale of the challenges and make sure that exponential challenges have a response of exponential opportunities and an exponential transformation agenda. And so that's where technology plays a huge role for us. And it's enabling concepts like Care Anywhere, where a physician on our Gold Coast University Hospital can dial into a patient at another hospital, might be Ravenna Hospital, and provide them clinical acute care virtually. It can be the fact that we can access a clinician anywhere and that the patient can traverse and engage with the clinician irrelevant of the brick and mortar context. So it could be at home on a teleconference where the clinician's at home too. And that's changed the way that we work to the broad adoption of artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data, implants, 3D printing, 5G wearables. Like, you know, I could keep going. The point I'm making here, though, is that we need to take advantage of technology change to really respond to the challenges that we're making. And what we've done at Gold Coast is we built an innovation ecosystem that helps meet that need. And we're one of the first hospital and health services in Australia to have launched the Chief Transformation Officer role. And I joined in that role 3 years ago as the first person to really drive a transformation agenda with digital reporting into it. It's a very different mentality than having a chief digital officer driving a transformation agenda, because I was business first, using technology to solve businesses' problems, not the other way around. And in that innovation ecosystem, we've actually internalized our ability to do problem discovery, problem design, change management, solution development, solution release through product-based teams, all internally. And it's an innovation ecosystem that means that we can find and ideate on a problem with our clinical teams and take it the whole way through to implement a new solution inside our business that responds to that need. And that innovation ecosystem is what really puts us at the leading edge in Australia in driving digital health transformation. So we can all internalize and do it end to end. And I think it's a really important construct that we've built. We're at a stage now where we're rebranding that. And what that's going to be designed to do is to really drive micro transformation inside the health system in a way that we can solve problems end to end. And when we build solutions that are right for Gold Coast, we can refactor them and port that to other hospital and health services so that they can benefit from our innovation ecosystem as much as we can. And that's where we're up to right now with our transformation agenda.
There's a huge amount to unpack there, and I will. Just to go back to where we were talking about the macro perspective, and I think if I was reading between the lines, you were talking a little bit about a funding lag or a decision-making lag in terms of the way that you have to plan stuff a long time in advance of when things are actually going to happen. I just wanted to understand a bit more, and this speaks to your role as the Chief Transformation Officer. How do you plan a transformation in that context, let alone then go and accelerate it? Or is that part of the opportunity that is in front of you?
It's a great question. I'm often in this multi-dexterous role of what are the solutions we need to solve today, now, that mean that we can sustain our organization in an annual budget cycle versus what are the things that I need to implement now that means that in years 2, 3, 4, that we're not having to solve the same problems. And so what we launched as an executive team is what we call the Future Focused Transformation Agenda. And what that's about is the second part of that, the latter part. How do we implement solutions and changes in today's world that mean that we're not experiencing the same problems next year, the year after, and the year after? We've basically isolated funding and teams to solve the future of health problem. Whilst at the same time, I work very deeply with my executive team to make sure that I'm supporting them in the challenges we're faced with today. And that could be the breadth of the clinical challenges we're faced with today, the growing waiting lists or funding challenges. So I balance my load on having isolated funding and teams focusing on the future to make sure that we're not experiencing the same problems over and over again, whilst also spending time working with my colleagues to make sure that we're solving the problems that were right in front of us here and now. And that's the challenge with the CTO. Your expectation is that you make the world easier, and you can do so in the future, but you also got to make the world easier in today's terms as well. We have to balance that reactive and proactive mechanism each day that we live in these roles. If I was to unpack as well your question about funding, the funding system in Australia, the activity-based funding system that many acute tertiary hospitals live and breathe by, it works on a cost model that's 2 years old. That's just how the federal system works. And again, it means that we're getting paid in costs that were 2 years old, and we're experiencing those costs in today's term. If there's a world where we're having to do more for less, like any other industry, then fine, excellent. If you're getting paid in a world where you're now more efficient than you were previously, then you can take advantage of that. But the harsh reality is we've all just experienced COVID. We've seen this macro change in the economic system. And so we're experiencing costs in an environment which is far more expensive than it used to be. And every citizen can see that in their own world of how much even their grocery bill or their fuel bill's gone up or the electricity bill's gone up in the last 2 years. We're no different. And the amount of innovation and efficiency we've driven can't respond to that scale of challenge because we've taken an incrementalism approach. And so, and again, that's why technology is really going to help us in the future meet the scale of need as we continue to see these economic turbulences.
So obviously to accelerate, and I think you mentioned that you have to have good foundations, and you've spent quite a few years putting those foundations in place, and this predates your time at the organization. But I wondered if you could just give us a sense of what those core foundational elements are that you're now building on top of.
I think what we have seen, and I think many other organizations have seen, is prior to my time, we've seen the explosion of digital applications on premise across the whole organization, hundreds of applications that do hundreds of different things. And that was great. That was the era of the old, which is we've got a problem, we can solve it using technology. How do we invest in an application that meets the need and drives a little bit of efficiency and improvement? And I've seen a great amount of processes in our organization now be digitized. It's probably the right terminology to use. What I did on the back of that is realize that all that's great and our digital foundations are strong. We had a really complicated technology environment. We had tens of applications that were doing the same thing, basically. And we had 10 different booking systems. Or although we digitized the process end-to-end, to complete a booking for an outpatient consult, it took an administration officer 6, 8, 10 different systems to actually complete that process end-to-end. And so what I've built into the organization on top of all of that is platforms that are architected and interoperable across all those domains. And my concept going forward is that we use platforms that staff can engage with, 1, 2, 3, that derive a lot of the digital workflows that we invested in previously, which means that staff only really have to use 1 or 2 or 3 systems to do all their work. And that's what I'm leveraging of the past, is that it's great that we did a digitization of the past, but I think I could drive a lot more value now going forward by using singular wholesale platforms that can drive a lot of this work back to those systems in an interoperable way and release a lot of value back to our staff.
And how are you going about identifying those opportunities for process simplification and improvement? Are you using tools for that, or are you going out and sitting with the clinical staff, or a mix of the two?
It's multimodal, absolutely. As much as we use external emerging research and we use our own tools to identify where there is opportunities for process optimization, simplification, as you've called out. In our practice, our transformation teams, our digital leaders, majority of them are clinical workers that work on the ground, that spend a day or 4 days with us driving innovation. So they bring their real world experience into our digital teams, and they're then spending the remaining of their time driving innovation back to their clinical teams. And so we have our own chief medical information officer, an emergency physician, spends half his week treating patients in the emergency room and the other half of his week making sure that the world works better for him as a clinician so that he can treat more patients with the same level of care outcomes as he would experience prior to that. So we're really being smart about our transformation teams, our digital teams, making sure that they're embedded with frontline staff, and the voice of the customer is really strong on the innovation side as well as it is on the customer side, which is our clinicians. And that's really how we do it. And I think that's where Gold Coast is noted to be different, is how we embed frontline staff into our digital innovation arms as part of our overarching innovation ecosystem.
And so you mentioned a lot of this work, or almost all of it, is happening internally. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you've resourced, particularly the acceleration part and the acceleration strategy that you're working on?
It's a great question. We're in a reality where digital was seen as a barrier rather than a value adding on a partner. And when I came on in this organization, I knew that I had to reframe the concept of a digital arm. It was a world where technology was there and digitized processes, but I needed to take my board, my executive team, the clinical leaders that work inside the organization through a process where I could show them the true value that technology can add to their day-to-day operations and business. And I did that. It was my first year, was really exposing what technology could do. And the reason I did that is, if I want to have an investment conversation about investing in the future of digital health at Gold Coast Health, I really needed the key decision makers, our clinical leaders and our executive leaders on the board, to understand what I was putting down, to understand what automation could mean for their business, to understand what a digital workflow is, to understand what interoperability is. Not only just the terminologies, but how it could add value to the organizational construct. And that could be value through releasing efficiencies of time. It could be values around new ways to identify clinical risk. It could be values around new ways to manage our cost structure. I guess value is quite broad in our construct. Ultimately, value to make sure that we deliver better patient outcomes for our entire population. Of course, that's the ultimate aim. So the first thing I did was I took them through that exercise, and it involved a breadth of conversations, even deep dives at the board level, where I took them through a very specific point of the agenda. What does artificial intelligence, machine learning mean to healthcare? Again, what does automation mean? And once I did the precursor of how can technology help, it was easier for me then to go back to them to say, right, I've shown you what technology can do. Now, in my second year, let me access some investment to make that value case real. And that's what I did in my second year. And now I'm in the stage of my journey here at Gold Coast, which is the fact that we've taken technology from this function that people kind of understood to an exercise where they understood where their value is, an exercise where we sought investment to drive the agenda, to now at the stage of scaled value creation. And what I expect in my years to come is that we'll get to a stage of scaled value release. And I think that's a whole different conversation that we're looking forward to in years to come. But that's how I reframe the investment conversation. I think it's really important for CIOs across the country to understand this, and that when you're trying to put a business case forward to your CFO, your CEO, your board, in a world where there's still need to drive digital literacy across executive teams and boards, they might not really understand what you're trying to put down. They might not understand how automation can add value. And I think it's really important that particularly the digital leaders of the world today train their colleagues on what that means prior to them throwing them the investment business case that says, and let me go and do X, Y, and Z, because now you understand what I mean, and let me go and create that value for you.
So you mentioned automation a couple of times, and I think we should talk a little bit more about it. I understand you're the first organization in Asia Pac to implement the ServiceNow industry solution for healthcare and life sciences. So I'm interested in talking a little bit about that specific area of the program. But one of the reasons I wanted to, and you've given a good seg into it with what you were just talking about then, is being first is always an interesting thing in technology. It's a risk reward sort of balancing act. And, you know, I think it'd be really interesting to talk about how using this and being first in Asia Pac to implement it was pitched internally. And you've sort of laid the foundations of the groundwork for that conversation, I think.
Alongside the agenda, we've done quite a lot of deep market research and a number of interactive dialogues, a number of technology companies, where we said that we really want to release kind of faster, more personalized experiences using technology. And we didn't want to rely on the market as much as we had previously to meet that need. So rather than buying lots of applications and having to deal with lots of different external partners, we wanted to invest in technology that allowed us to drive our own agenda with partners that were really committed to our organization. And that's where ServiceNow came into the equation. Through that dialogue, we came across the HCLS product set that was expanding across particularly the US market. And we realized that they were really aligned to our agenda. We wanted a system that we could drive a lot of our workloads on, that was focused on the healthcare and life sciences domain, that was a partner that was deeply invested in the success of our organization, was truly committed to working at the hip. but also was a partner that believed in this concept of personalized journeys and making sure that organizations can accelerate through the concept of personalization. I think it's really important. And so that's what stood out for us in the ServiceNow partnership. And being a first was no different to Gold Coast Health. We're one of the first in many domains. We have many firsts. We're the first to launch our own developed machine learning application from concept design all the way through to production. One of the first HHSs in Queensland to scale out a company that now deals with 200 hospitals on a global scale. So we've done many firsts, and even clinically, there are many firsts in this organization. So the concept of being first is not unfamiliar territory to our organization. But we also realized that if we were a leading partner in the APAC region for HCLS, in many ways, we could start shaping the agenda of how that product was going to be rolled out across the nation and the region. And that's what really excited us. And I have to say, I work with many partners, can name a breadth of them, but the relationship with ServiceNow is really unique. And it does feel like they're at the hip with our organization, driving value together. And we're both learning as their product set grows, as much as we're helping influence where it should be shaped to meet the domain needs of health and life sciences. Because I think that's really important. And to also meet the requirements that great experiences drives great adoption drives value. That's the simple equation that digital transformation execs should understand in today's age. Everyone wants a personalized experience. They want it to be easy, and they don't want to be clicking hundreds of different applications to get work done. They want simplified experiences where you can click on one, two, three things and suddenly work's happening in the background for you.
So essentially, you were able to, I guess, have a little bit of a head start in terms of having a specific HCLS flavor of ServiceNow to work with. But you've also, through the sort of partnership that you've struck with ServiceNow, you have an avenue to build extra things into the product that perhaps aren't in the product that you started out with.
Absolutely. I have an ability to influence the out-of-the-box applications that will be offered on the ServiceNow stack in years to come. We had to do all the hard work to localize the data model to the APAC context. I think a lot of CIOs grab American products, try to implement them in an Australian context, and realize that there's suddenly a lot of work to do to localize those data models to meet our needs. We've done that work and kind of led the way for Australia to mean that the next hospital can benefit from our work. So we've been able to push that work through. But yes, absolutely. We have an ability now that as we build more workflows and we're ahead of the curve, they can become the standard workflow that other hospitals particularly adopt across the country to really accelerate the HCLS launch across particularly our country and the APAC region.
And do you want to talk about one example even just of a workflow that you've run through the ServiceNow sort of ecosystem and the way that either works in behind the scenes or the way it's presented from a patient-facing perspective?
And so a great one is in launch now. It's the clinical photography application. So often when we're doing consults on wound care, our clinicians have to take a physical image of the wound, and that image needs to be stored in the medical record, and it needs to be safe and secure. And what we're seeing is a really kind of antiquated workflow prior to our launch of the clinical photography application, the ServiceNow stack. And so what that basically means is it's a portable application on any clinician's phone. They can launch their HCLS, or we call it Care Now. That's our terminology of the ServiceNow stack. So they can launch the Care Now application. They can launch the clinical photography app. It knows who the clinician is and what patients they're dealing with. They can find who the patient is. They can take the image, obviously, with approval from the patient of the wound. And then that is integrated straight back into the medical record with a single click. And that's driving significant uptake across our clinical community as it's being released because it's simplifying that whole process. And they don't have to deal with multiple systems. They take the photo, do the diagnostic, and the technology deals with the rest that's imported back to the medical record. That's just the kind of amazing examples that we're seeing our Care Now platform grow. Another great example of an automation that one of my executive colleagues needed to be stood up, and we did it. In 2 days, we released a product that helped them understand escalations in the emergency department. And then we built feature set number two in another 3 days. That's not an experience that's common in public health systems or in public sector. And we did it internally. And it's because we built modularized codes, we can rely on a smorgasbord of all the work that we've done previously is built in a fashion that makes us faster and faster. And we are working in a world where in years to come, it will only take us days of short sprints to spin up new solutions and have them implemented and tested through our organization. That's what really excites me about our agenda, and really also excites me about our partnership with ServiceNow, because they think and act, and their platform thinks and acts in a very familiar way.
And I think it'd be useful just to talk a little bit about refactoring and reuse. This is something you mentioned earlier in the conversation. And so just really interested in that kind of aspect of the work that you're doing, and particularly the opportunities for taking something and reworking it and then delivering it either internally for yourself or for maybe broader other parts of the health sector for reuse as well.
This is a great opportunity of a learn by doing exercise, and they're the holy grail. If you can take from problem validation, discovery, design, development, and deployment, and then you can scale a solution beyond an individual unit to across an organization, I think a lot of people can do that far. We're saying, can we even take it further? Can we port the solution to a number of other hospital and health services or LHDs, whichever other version that you use of hospital networks in Australia and broader? And so we've been working with a few select use cases on a different set of applications that we've built to validate that we can really refactor and port solutions out. What I mean by that is, although a solution with features that are rich for Gold Coast may work in our context to our workflows, we do know that the world's just not static and binary, that people do work differently in different environments. And so we know as an exercise where it might be the fact that they may not want the same feature set that we have. And so how do we refactor to meet the need of another customer or another provider? And we've worked with a few examples of that to truly meet this aim that we can scale solutions internally and we can port them across other hospital and health services. Now, for a ServiceNow stack, it's a little easier because you can build, to a certain extent, an application that can be customized at that next customer level. So, for example, you could build clinical photography. You could rebuild it as an application that's available in a ServiceNow store. That would be refactored to get there. It might have all the features and products. And then another customer could come along, grab the out-of-the-box application, and then implement it themselves. But what we've been trying to do inside the state environment, we're co-piloting with a number of other health services around how they do that, so that we learn internally what it's like to go through that whole cycle from problem validation to deployment to scaling internally to then refactoring and porting, and that we can take all that learnings back to the front of our pipeline to understand what it's going to take to get through each of those phases so we're not making mistakes in the front end, and we're proactively doing that portability by design construct right at the front. And that's where the space we're at with my learning. And in the next 6 months, we hope that we've got a number of use cases that we can showcase that have gone through from a problem at Gold Coast to then an example of a microcosm of the rest of the system that's being scaled across our organization and ported to a number of other hospital and health services in the Queensland state. And then, of course, our long-term ambition is to take all those initiatives beyond our own state border. That's what we're working towards right now.
Welcome to this special IT News discussion with Slack, the AI-powered home of work productivity platform to keep your teams connected and engaged. I'm Nate Cochran, Associate Editor of IT News and your host today. Leading teams, whether you're face-to-face, in the office or far away, separated by suburbs, states or even time zones, has never been more challenging. So if you're looking for insights into how other leaders just like you linked and enthused their teams to boost their businesses, you're in the right place. Joining us to elevate these topics are Derek Laney, Slack's technology evangelist, and Scott McLeod, Managing Director of McLeod Cranes. Welcome, gentlemen, to our podcast.
Morning, Nate. Great to be with you.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Scott, first up, if I can turn to you, tell us just a bit about McLeod Cranes. Who are your customers and what's the value you deliver to them?
We're a mobile crane or a taxi crane company based in the Bay of Plenty and Tauranga, New Zealand. We service the Bay of Plenty and the Waikato regions, covering Hamilton, Taupo and Tauranga. And if you dial up a taxi, you expect to get a lift in the crane hire business. You dial us up and we're going to send you a 300-ton crane and support trucks and get your job done. We're running spider cranes from 3.2-ton up to big all-terrain cranes of 350-ton. So we could be at the port today or on a high-hazard geothermal site with a drilling rig tomorrow, or on a commercial construction site, lifting in concrete panels. And every day we're managing the logistics of just over 170 staff heading in different directions. And we're trying to figure out how do we provide the ideal, most cost-effective solution to our customer each day.
So time is money, and you're working with really heavy equipment in quite constrained projects with customers who I assume are quite unforgiving if the wrong crane arrives at the wrong place. Plus, you've got staff members scattered all over the landscape. So paint us a bit of a picture of what life was like before Slack came into your life.
We'd go and do a site inspection, for example, and the notes would come back on a site inspection form. We'd pass that into the dispatcher. He'd sit it there until the customer rang up for the job. And then inevitably that piece of paper might get lost, or someone forgets that it exists. Dispatcher A might not talk to dispatcher B, who might not talk to dispatcher C. And so the information could get buried. Then you think of Slack, and now that site inspection is kept within a channel. When a dispatcher starts talking about a job, they're typing in the address of the job. Slack is sending a message to them saying, hey, did you know there's a site inspection for this job? They can quickly jump on that link, see the site inspection, see the videos, the photos, the narrative around it from the site inspector, the previous form. So that dispatcher now is immediately brought up to speed. But what's even more really cool that I love about it is we can send that conversation onto the crane driver and onto the counterweight driver and the dogman. They can all jump into that history and see the conversation that has already been occurring around that particular activity and bring themselves up to speed. What that means is one less phone call to a dispatcher to say, hey, what's this about? One less phone call to a site inspector to say, hey, I see you did a site inspection. Can you tell me a bit about it? He can actually look at the video now. There's just a whole lot of flow-on or cascading effects that occur that eliminate time. And that time is very valuable, and it's increasing safety because we're all on the same page. Could be that there were underground services on that site, and we can see potentially the as-built plans and see where the underground services were because they can be uploaded into that conversation. It's actually quite revolutionary, which is, I'll tell you what, I didn't expect it. And now that I'm on it, I'm like, what did we do before? How did we get here?
I understand you weren't always a Slack advocate. What was your aha moment when Slack's benefits clicked with you?
I was talking to my Salesforce customer manager, and what he was saying was, hey, you should check out the Slack thing. And I was saying, what the hell are you going on about? You're telling me about some messaging platform. And I just couldn't get my head around what he's talking about. And I was privileged to go over to San Francisco to Dreamforce. And on that course, I went to a number of conversations around Slack. And all of a sudden, the penny dropped in the form of, how does it work? I could see many benefits around the channel structure of it, which is like putting a conversation in a box. And once that conversation's in the box, you can either be part of it, you can be actively notified about new things put in the box, you can leave the conversation if it's not relevant to you. And once you start applying that to a crane company, I could see the benefit, and I could see actually some major problems within the company that communication was getting in the way of the job, and that would make communications be front and center and add value to the job. So it was quite a big change.
You mentioned there a few times around safety, and obviously safety and cost are often two sides of the same coin with a company such as yours. In what ways do you feel that you've got some quantifiable or qualified successes or benefits safety-wise out of Slack?
When we have events now, health and safety events, the operator places an immediate report to us, and we're asking AI to tell us what the operator should do now immediately. And that is happening through Slack. So Slack is immediately telling the operator, right, these are the next three things that you should do right now. And even though that's still going through to our health and safety team, it's given the operator an immediate thing that they now need to look at and start thinking about. And it's pretty amazing how accurate that initial report is. And we can jump into that conversation and then see what's happened so far on that event. And we can then start to make real-time decisions, bring other people into that conversation, go into a huddle, which is like a video conference around the event in that same channel. So having the same conversation with the people actively involved on site, and then make some really key decisions to stabilize the situation, slow it down, make it safe, work with our customers to resolve whatever the situation is so that everyone's happy. But
although responsible organizations take their safety and compliance obligations seriously, they still tend to see them as handbrakes to getting a job done. But you turned them into assets to speed resolution. How did you do that?
In the past, someone would raise an event and that would generate an email. It's very fast now because it goes straight into the AI. The AI rewrites the event at the right level without blame and makes some recommendations. So what the operator should do right now to make the event safe, and what steps they should now take, and what steps should the health and safety team now take. It's a massive improvement.
Derek Laney from Slack. You heard what Scott McLeod was saying about how Slack has elevated safety at the crane company. How does his experience compare with what you see at other customers?
Here is someone who's running the business, who's chosen to bring the tools in himself and bring incredible technology, like using real-time callouts for artificial intelligence to rewrite health and safety cases to make them blameless and to provide real-time health and safety advice to crane operators in the field. You would imagine that is something that's still off into the future, but Scott is doing it already in the classic way of taking a tool and making it his own by finding how to apply it to his use case. And I think that's what I really wanted people to take away from this story, is to look deeper into their ways of working and say, you know, we can do this ourselves. We don't necessarily need to implement highly complex solutions to do some of these things. These are simple solutions that everyone can do, and he's achieving incredible improvements in productivity and safety through this implementation.
You've been listening to Derek Laney, Slack Technology Evangelist, and Scott McLeod, Managing Director of McLeod Cranes. Listen out for our next Slack chat when Derek drills into how Slack's AI can power your business growth. Derek will share his insights into how AI will augment rather than replace workers and help you to earn their trust to transform your organization. He'll also share Slack's own research into Aussie's appetite for AI. The results aren't what you might expect. And to catch up on podcasts with your tech and business peers, head to itnews.com.au and click on the podcast tab at the top. I've been Nate Cochrane. Thanks for listening.